Welcome to the Law of Compensation. Understanding this law can be the key to all the dreams you ever had, because this law helps us understand who we really are. We've all heard the phrase that what you sow, you'll reap. And we understand that if we want to have corn in our field, we better plant some corn seeds. But behind that is what this law is really about, and that is that you won't even believe you can have corn if you don't have a sense of what is possible for you. Your sense of identity, your image, opens the door to the law of compensation's power in your life, in every arena, in your financial affairs, in your relationships, in your quality of your aliveness, your health, your options, your freedom, your fulfillment. That's what my company, we do. We help people understand who they really are and what they're capable of. And it is so much more than the mass of humanity has any sense of.
I believe your company does a phenomenal job. Image Makers International, Inc. I mean, it's a phenomenal concept. You help people develop the image that resonates or is in harmony with the good that they desire, because everything comes to us by law. Earl Nightingale talked a lot about the law of compensation, and Earl was my guide, my leader, my mentor for a number of years, and he said that the law of compensation is very clear. He pointed out that the amount of money we earn is always going to be an exact ratio to the need for what we do, our ability to do it, and the difficulty there is in replacing us. Now, for most people, there is a need for what they do. There is a need out there, and they very likely had nothing to do with the creation of the need. I know in my business, in your business, the need is there for what we do. There's a tremendous need everywhere you go in the world. And we really didn't create that need. We work at filling that need. So the first step in the law of compensation is taken care of without any effort on our part. And if we look after the second step, the third one's going to be taken care of. Now, the second step is our ability to do it. It's the need for what we do, our ability to do it, and then the difficulty there is in replacing you. Now, if we become very good at doing what we do, our stock is automatically going to go up. We're going to be very difficult to replace. Now, there's no one that's indispensable, but some people are very difficult to replace. Like, I'm quite sure if I talk to anyone in your company, they would tell me, you're very difficult to replace. I know in my company I am. And I believe that's the image people have to have of themselves, because their behavior, the results they get, is nothing but the manifestation of the image that they do have of themselves. And I've always really admired the work you do in helping people establish a true identity, establish the image that's in harmony with what they want. Very few people do that. Now, Raymond Halliwell pointed it out here. He said, sooner or later, we must come face to face with this law of compensation. And inevitably, our own comes to us, and only what is our own. As we apply this law to life and watch its certain results. And then I think we want to ask ourselves a couple of questions. Are we satisfied with the good we are receiving? That's a good question. Are we getting fair returns for our efforts? Do we feel that our own has really come to us? Most people are dissatisfied. I have found that anywhere you go, you're going to find most people are dissatisfied with what they're getting out of life. Now, there are some who even go so far as to say that life isn't worth living. Now, I don't see a lot of those people, but I'm quite certain they're around, since I used to be one of those people a long time ago. Now, the great majority declare that injustice is in the world, and more especially in our own lives, that unhappiness, sickness, poverty exist through our living. I think that's where the service that your company provides is invaluable. I think the great English writer Huxley, he said, there's only one corner of the universe that we can be certain of improving, and that's our own self. And that's where building the image. So what do you think of yourself? What kind of an image are you holding? Do you see yourself as a truly effective part of the business or industry that you are a part of? Because if you don't, you've got to change that image. Because your company is nothing but the manifestation of the image that you hold. So this law of compensation is really important.
It's very important. So Halliwell goes on and he says, in the study of the laws of truth, and that's what we're doing in these lessons together, is the laws of truth exist. They are everywhere present. They are immutable. And what we are doing by the study is a systematic unlocking of their power in our lives. So the study of the laws of truth, we learn to apply them so they will dissolve all our adverse thoughts and conditions. The mistakes of a schoolboy do not come through the wise operation of the law. They come through miscalculation. And in this section, Hollowell talks about how in the school of life, it is no different than in the school of grade school, high school, graduate school. It doesn't matter how much school you go to, you are introduced to a curriculum of understanding. If you're taking math classes, you are introduced to a whole study of math and you receive a problem a day, knowing that the law of mathematics is bigger than the problem you're facing. And through your study of the law, you are then able to apply your information, your education, and you find a way to solve that problem, and you then execute the law in a way that dissolves any problem. It's the same thing in the law of living. The laws of successful living are exactly the same as the laws of science. The supply and the possibility for you and for me is ever the same and always at hand. But it's our problem to change the use or the application of the law in order to bring about the conditions that better offer and serve what it is we're wanting to bring forth.
Raymond Hollowell made it quite clear that when you're talking about the law of compensation, he said the purpose of this lesson is to show you that you can use the law to lift yourself out of the place where you are to the place where you rightfully belong. Now, think of this for a moment. It's clearly stated everywhere you look, doesn't matter what religion you might study or where you go in science, you are the highest form of creation on the planet. You are God's highest form of creation. There is nothing that will equal you. Now, I don't know if that's the image you hold of yourself, but that is the truth about who you are. So you have to ask yourself, do you want to move out of where you are to the place where you rightfully belong? Because you can have anything you want. Your right place is where you can enjoy success and plenty. Now, this is natural. As the law intended, your failures to realize these things is a miscalculation. It's a mistake. So if you're not getting everything you want, then there's a mistake being made. And you've got the wrong image of yourself, and you're not relating to the law the right way. See, the law does not need to change. Success and prosperity does not need to be made. It always is, but you, in turn, must change. I pointed out that change is inevitable, but personal growth is a choice. And we're suggesting that you lock into this law and make this choice now. Then your affairs will follow that change. Now, where do you change? Well, the seat of all movement, the controller of all activity, is your thought. It goes right back to your corporation, Mary. It's the image. You see, the key to every person is their thought. Emerson pointed out that many years ago. He said the key to every man is his thought. The controller of all activity is your thought. And you bring your thoughts together to build the image. What kind of an image are you holding of yourself? You see, the key to successful living is the right adjustment of your thoughts, the image that you're holding. And if your thoughts are constructive and proper, you're going to find that you're going to win. If you're dissatisfied and unhappy, you will be inspired for something better. And I believe you do want something better. And the law of compensation, properly understood, is going to deliver it to you.
So right now, just take a breath and ask yourself, what do I really want? Do I want prosperity? Do I want abundance? Do I want freedom from lack and limitation? Do I want a success that has been unexpected in my mind up until now? But I really, when I listen in and I pay attention to myself, I really do want to live a life of the kind of freedom and expression that I have seen in others and have longed for myself. If you want that, but you do not strive to change in any way, things will not be any different. It doesn't matter what the pattern has been, it will continue to be, because you will design your life either by default or by intelligent design, a design that you choose, and then you pattern your life according to that new design. If some habit possesses or, worse, obsesses you, you are not the master of your life until you decide, and you have that power to decide to change that habit. Now, if you've been brought into the world and you experience lack and limitation and your whole patterning of your upbringing brought you to believe that life is a struggle and there's never enough and we need to meager out our little bit in the world, It's a pattern of ideas. It's not how the world is. There are many, many people who live and die and never know anything different from what's been handed down to them. But once you've changed your vision, your image of what it is you would like to bring forth, and you make a decision, systematically, the conditions will change. Only when you cease to recognize a condition do we cease to attract it. So the only way we can cease to recognize things like lack, limitation, here it is to change our minds about it. If you go to somebody's home, you're going to find all homes different. Some of them are going to be neat or tidy or clean or orderly, bright. Some are going to be dull and gloomy, disorderly, dusty. The home is a reflection of the ruling mind of its owner. Its appearance speaks of the keeper's mind. So if you're working for success, look at your home. If order is the first law of the universe, and it is, then it must also be your and my first application. So no lack of money is an excuse for a disorderly home. Clearing the clutter in our home, even one drawer at a time, one cupboard at a time, one closet at a time, systematically begins to clear the mind. We begin to be more expansive in our thinking. If you wish for a better home, a finer environment, nicer furnishings, whatever it is, alter your mind right where you are. And you begin to notice that you start attracting, being aware of, and then really and authentically experiencing better things.
You know, Mary, I've often mentioned when you get into a person's car, you can get a pretty good idea of what's going on in their mind. If their car's nice and neat and tidy, you know that they've got order in their mind. Now, if it looks like they're moonlighting in the garbage business, you know that there's a real problem upstairs. And you know, Raymond Halliwell talks about a couple that operated a fish store in their neighborhood, and he said they neglected to keep the store tidy. They were not always courteous in their dealings, nor prompt with their deliveries. And becoming discouraged from repeated losses, they finally closed the business, selling what equity remained. Now, the couple who bought the failing business and the fixtures moved in, rolled up their sleeves, scrubbed the room, cleaned the whole place up, making it appear attractive and prosperous. They attracted business at once. They established a name for quality food, cleanliness, and courtesy. Their business, in spite of former conditions, steadily grew until it was necessary to lease another room and increase the size of the store. Now, some years have passed, and these people have enjoyed an enviable success in the same business and location where others had failed. You see, the law helps those who help themselves. How many times have we heard that? The law of compensation always works that way. Now, do you remember the second step that Earl Nightingale talked about? He said, the need for what we do, our ability to do it. Well, when you perform your task to the very best of your ability, when you've done the best that you can do, you know you're on the right track. Now, otherwise expressed, you grow more capable and efficient. You become better and thereby show your growing superiority. And the law is that he who becomes better will attract the better and be given the greater things to do. You're going to become very difficult to replace. When you make up your mind, you do as the new owner of that fish store did. You give it everything you've got. You're going to be very difficult to replace, and when you're difficult to replace, your stock goes up. You're worth more. See, you were always worth more. Everybody's worth more. It's they got to get this law of compensation working in their favor.
The principle involved here is that when you become too large for your present place, you begin to draw yourself to something larger, and you cannot attract the better until you first become larger. You must earn what you receive, or you cannot keep it. If an individual appears to do so, it will not continue, for in accordance with the law of compensation, that person will find his own true place. As the popular expression goes, you know, like water, we find our own true level, or you can't keep a good person down. So when we become too large, what does that mean? It means that the image we have of ourselves, who we really are, has become larger than our previous image, that we no longer see ourselves or our universe or our world as limited or defined in some way. We have now allowed an image of a possibility or a greater experience, a greater difference making, whatever it is. But as we become one with a larger image, we get bigger than the life we've lived, and life works. This law of compensation is immutable. If your office and where you work is cluttered up with papers, magazines, bundles, or if you are running a business, or if your employer's desk is stacked with mail and some of it a week old, it creates a carelessness. It creates a clutter throughout the entire organization. The organization, whether it's your home, your family, your workplace, always reflects the mind of its chief.
The law of compensation works up and down a corporation. It doesn't just work in the warehouse or for the laborer. It works for the executive. It works for everyone. Everyone is subject to this law. I think too often we're raised to blame conditions and circumstances. George Bernard Shaw put it very well one time. He said, people are always blaming circumstances for what they are. He said, I don't believe in circumstance. The people who get on in this world are the people who get up, look for the circumstance they want, and if they can't find them, they make them. Now, Halliwell points out to blame your difficulty on outer conditions or on other people is not correct. I did that until I was 26. I can tell you from personal experience, it's not going to help you. You're not going to win. You see, when you're blaming other people, it just is not correct. It's not the law. It is you who are wrong. You have a snag in your mentality somewhere. Check back and readjust your ideas. Start to alter the image that you're holding of yourself. That's what's bringing forth your conditions. The law that we reap what we sow is mathematically accurate. Each experience through which we pass operates ultimately for our good. If we attract the unpleasant, it is often because some dormant or neglected phase of our nature needs to be awakened and developed. Also, we learn from our experience to create something better. Hence, the degree of contentment and satisfaction attained where whatever sphere of life we may dwell is largely dependent upon our ability to see constructively the experiences of life. For in every case, the law of attraction will only bring what may serve out our own upward development. To interpret this law in a simple form, it should be stated that whatever we attract, we require, and whatever we need is always good. This is a correct attitude to adopt because all experience is for our good, and we must be able to see it in that light. We've got to look at the bigger picture. We're not just a body. We're a spiritual being living in a physical body. We're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And we've got the mental equipment to build the image in our mind, because that's where all creation begins, of the results that we want to see in our life. Mary, I have always respected your skill and your professionalism and your ability in this area. You've certainly helped me a lot with it.
So in this next phase of what Halliwell is teaching us about the law of compensation, he's saying that, while you're pursuing this practice, you may not always be precise and you may not always have exactly the results you're desiring. But what will happen is that over time, if you stay true to the law of compensation will stay true to you, which means that you will be steadily building up in your own mind and your own character a greater sense and experience of harmony and beauty and strength and abundance in all the important ways. Because all of this kind of effort, it is about us realizing the ideal or the highest good we can know in this moment and to bring it forth into our experience. And what that does is develop in each one of us the very qualities and conditions that are repeatedly pictured in the mind, regardless of what they are. So let us hold images of high ideals. Because what we've been trained to do is look for what's wrong and what's missing. And that creates, there's a vibration to that. And instead, if we hold ideas of the ideal, if we look for the good and practice the law of increase right here by praising that which is good, what it does is attract to us an increased recognition of the good. It also helps us see all of the support that is here and available to us, all the opportunities. Every one of us walk past opportunities every single day, and there's an opportunity cost that when we understand, we can actually measure what we have left on the table. We walked right by it, not because a good wasn't there, not because the abundance wasn't there, but we were not in harmony with it, so we couldn't even see it. So we crowd out all inferior thoughts by superior thought. Superior thought has a much higher frequency to it. You'll feel it in your body. You'll feel more expansive. You'll feel your shoulders relax. You'll feel your forehead relax, your chin relax, as you lean into and open up to your communion, your connection with the truth. It was Eleanor Roosevelt who once said, "All the water in the world cannot drown you unless it gets inside of you." So that which would drown our dreams, that which would drown our abundance, our experience of it, our thoughts of negativity, littleness, criticism, condemnation, and we crowd those out by focusing on and bringing in superior thoughts. So learning to think constructively of all persons and all events and all things and all circumstances, we learn to appraise them from the ideal point of view. And as we do this, we gradually transform our whole existence for the better. So as we train ourselves to mentally look for the good, we move towards the good. And as we form higher and larger conceptions of the good, this is natural. So this process, however, doesn't imply that we ignore what's missing or what's wrong. It's just that we're not focused on it. We're not so interested in it. We notice it so that we can change it, just like the empty place or the undeveloped state of being. But we are to think right through and beyond that to the hidden good or the principle within that is ever seeking in you, in me, in the entire universe, a higher and fuller expression. So what happens is we notice something missing or something we'd like to have changed or evolved, we cease condemning it, criticizing it in a destructive manner that actually keeps us hooked to it. Instead, what we do is we seek to bring out the good in us, to bring out the good in the situation, to evolve it, to hold an image of it in its ideal state. And the law of compensation does exactly what the law of compensation always does.
The first person that really got my attention and got me moving in the right direction, I've mentioned his name many times, was Raymond Stanford. And what he really did, he got me to take a look at the results I was getting. It's very easy for us to be moving at warp speed and really not pay attention to the results that we're getting. We're busy. We think the idea is be busy, work hard. And of course, that's not the idea at all. We want to check and find out about the results. Like if you're in a room and the room's cold, you know you've got to turn the thermostat. And if you don't, there's no sense in complaining about the cold. Well, that's what Ray Stanford said. In fact, he put an R on a sheet of paper and he said, let that represent results. And then he put two H's and a W. And he said, this is happiness, health, and wealth. And then he got me to start to pay attention to what I was doing. Well, Raymond Hollywell suggests that right in this session. He said, whatever we possess today is our just reward. Very often, it doesn't make us happy. It certainly didn't make me happy. We're dissatisfied with it, but still it remains ours. That doesn't change it because you're unhappy with it. Now, this fact would prove hopelessly discouraging were it not for a great truth that teaches us how to be free from every difficulty, released from all bonds, absolved from every debt. If you want success in living life, you must exercise an intelligent discrimination of your thoughts. As you so well put it in all your programs, you've got to take a look at the image you're holding, because the image is nothing but the manifestation of thoughts in your mind. Now, when you talk hard times, money scarcity, limitation, you're sowing that type of seed. And what kind of harvest do you expect to get? What would you expect if the farmer was sowing thistle seeds and then complained because his field didn't bring forth wheat? You'd say, dumb farmer. Didn't he know that he could only expect what he planted? Well, you know, why don't people understand that? Why do so many people complain about the results? Never make an assertion, no matter how real it seems to be to you, if you do not want it reproduced or continued in your life. Do not say money is scarce. I always say I'm so happy and grateful now that money comes to me in increasing quantities through multiple sources on a continuous basis. And so it is, and that's the way it works. Well, Hollywell is saying, don't say money's scarce. The very statement would send money away from you. There's an abundance of money. There's an abundance of everything. Do not say that times are hard. This will tighten your purse strings so tight that even God will not be able to slip in another coin. And don't say that you're not loved or not interested in other people's lives. Truly, you will lose their interest and their love. See yourself. Build an image. See yourself with the good that you desire. If you're building a corporation, see the company that you want built. I had an image of a company that operated globally when I was sitting in a den in Glenview, Illinois, by myself. I had no one working in my company. I was the company, but I had an image of that company operating all over the world. And now we have a company that is a holding company that has a number of companies operating all over the world. Why? Because that's the image I build. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. You don't have to know how it's going to happen, but you know it will happen, and it'll happen by law, and the compensation you receive is going to come by law. That's what this session's all about. It's about the law of compensation.
Well, I love your story about how you built your company, because you have been such an inspiration, not only to me, Bob, but to thousands and thousands of people by your willingness to apply the law, your study of Think and Grow Rich and the other materials that when you say these things that we should study this, it's not just words. If anyone hangs out with you very long at all, they see you carry the book. You're actually reading it. You do spend this time. And that's the encouragement to us. You can hear this law of compensation. But what is your image? What is your image of what it is you'd like to experience? And give yourself some room. Breathe into it. Ask yourself, if I could wave a magic wand, if I could live the life I want, what would I create in every area, and specifically for the area of compensation, to be compensated in rich and rewarding relationships, to be compensated in vital, alive, energetic health, to be compensated in the financial world that is in harmony with your gifts and talents. No one is repeatable. Just as rare and unique as your own thumbprint is, this universe knew what it was doing when it made you. And you are made of the stuff of the universe. The spirit of the universe is creativity itself. So use that creativity. Allow that creativity to move up and rise up in you. If you want a better home, if you want a different business, if you want freedom in your financial area, let that image begin to form itself and gather the flesh of repeated ideas and repeated feelings about it. What would it be like to live that life? And then as best you can, step into that life imaginally. As you conclude this lesson, spend a few minutes walking around as the person who is living the life you're imagining, and begin to feel what that feels like. And then allow yourself to realize this takes time, just like you're building. If you were going to build your dream house, you began to draw the architecture of it on a piece of paper, and you began to gather the materials. But you knew that if you kept systematically at work with the principle of building, you could build any house you choose and have money for. Well, the universe has written you a blank check. You can decide, you can design, and you can build.
Raymond Hollywell brings out something here that I have been studying for a long time. And I think the person that really brought it to my mind was Wallace Wattles in The Science of Getting Rich, where he talks about competition not being a good thing. A lot of people think it's a good thing. I personally don't give it much energy one way or another. But he pointed out in Philadelphia, he used an example of a man boasted that he was a success. He rose above his competitors. He drove them off the street, some of them out of business. He founded his business upon competition. But I learned only recently that his business had dwindled down to the place where he was forced to close out and move to a smaller town. You see, the law of compensation works slowly but surely. One cannot build upon the substance or on the virtue that another has created. What we're really talking about here is competition versus creation. Now, if you're competing, you're not creating. If you're creating, you're not competing. And I like the idea that we really understand this law of compensation, and that we get into the creative aspect of our mind and we give it everything we've got, realizing that the universe is going to reward us. Now, I was going to say it takes a fair amount of faith. I'm not talking about blind faith. I'm talking about faith that's based on understanding. And we have to know that if we step out and we give everything we've got to what we're doing, but then we help anyone else that's doing it. I've always had the opinion in my business that anybody that was coming into this business, I would help them any way I could. all I'm really doing is helping myself when I do that. You see, the law says give and you'll receive. In fact, I think that's how this lesson started. Whatever you sow, you reap. You don't have to worry about someone beating you. When you're dealing with the infinite, you can never take more than your share. We're raised to work on an idea of limited supply and competition. I want you to visualize for a moment that you're sitting in your kitchen table at home, and someone's placed a pie on the table. Now, there's maybe six or eight of you there, and so the pie is cut into six or eight equal parts. Now, it's a particularly good pie. Everybody at the table likes it. You've had your piece a little ahead of the others, and you think, God, I would really like some more pie. Now, the only way you can have more pie is for you to take a little piece of somebody else's pie. Therefore, they would have less. Well, that's the way most people operate in business. They feel that if they're going to get more business, that they're going to have to outwit, outmarket, outsell somebody else, and somebody else is going to have a little less. But dealing with the idea of creation, if you want more pie, you can just make a bigger pie. Not only will you get more, but everybody else at the table will have more if they want it. And that's the way it is in business. We want to come up with new ideas to expand the business that we're involved in and share what we're doing with other people so that they can see it and they can benefit from it. Where you fail to use the law correctly, or where you fail in your consciousness to think rightly, there are three points common in everyday life where one may fail in a snare and a delusion. And Mary, I think you've got these down better than anybody, so I'm going to ask you if you'll elaborate on them.
There are three steps here that Hollowell says are really essential in how we hold our mind in such a way, how we hold our thinking, that actually gives us access to the frequency that is most in harmony with the law of compensation. So first of all, search for, are there any places in us where we're expecting something for nothing? Expecting something for nothing is complete disharmony with the law, because everything works by law and order. So if we're seeking to be the one who never pays the bill when we're out with friends, if we're seeking to kind of hold back and let someone else pay for the movie, if we're seeking to not pay our share, not be a participant in the full aliveness, which means our part of experiencing the goodness, we want to pay for that. We want to participate in earning and having and giving. Those three realms of being flow together and open the portal of experience for the law of compensation to expand our understanding and then our experience of the free flow of good that's in this universe everywhere present. Do not expect something for nothing. Second, if we are a person who is always hunting for things that we call cheap, to be just, I want to buy the cheapest thing, I want to get by with the cheapest amount, there's an energy to the word cheap that's different than value. If you want the best value and you appreciate that which is a good value in harmony with that which is in harmony with your image, what are you seeking to represent? Your image guides how it is that you're going to use your energies, your resources, your thought, your actions, your time, and your dollars. So in regard to how you match your image with the way you represent the image in your daily life, certainly look for that which is of value in harmony with your image. But many of us have been trained to just go for what's cheap. Cheap produces a contraction. The energy of cheap is contraction. What we're looking for here with the law of compensation is the universe is lavish. The universe creates millions and millions and millions of seeds of the same kind, knowing that as it's free-flowing with its seeds, there is an abundance of expression of itself. You are one with the universe. Let there be an abundance of expression of yourself. And the third is, if you hate to pay your bills, if you don't like to let go of this money, is that that creates another form of contraction in the energy field of you. So as we release our money cheerfully, and this may take a practice, but when I assign checks, I always write, thank you, God, on that check. When I'm paying the light company and the phone company and the other people, it's like, I really loved having that phone work all month long. And so I put myself in harmony with how much I appreciated the service that I received, and that it comes to my house and I have free-flowing water and all of the things, is to have an appreciation, first of all, that the dollars are there, or whatever dollars are there, increasing the appreciation actually increases the flow. So be very careful. Treat it as one of your sacred practices, how you actually handle the money, that you have the free flow of sending forth, that you send it forth with gratitude. And when you have a need and you're looking to buy something, or should I buy this or should I buy that, is it of greater value than the money in my purse or in my wallet? Do I want to hire this person? Do I want to grow my business in this way? Can I see more value in that choice than hoarding or keeping or reserving the funds that are at hand? And when you're in a free flow of growth, which is what the universe is ever beckoning us into, then you'll begin to notice that there is a flow, and you'll get your yeses and your nos, what to do and what not to do, not from scarcity and not from limitation, but from what you are in harmony with. And when you are in harmony with your image of what's possible, you will find that your answers are ready and at hand.
The bottom line is that the law inevitably produces its own exactness as a rule of action. It's a divine law and tolerates no violation. If a person misuses the laws of harmony, health, or supply, the law of compensation becomes manifest. You're just going to lose if you're violating the law. Now, we're free agents to choose the method of procedure in our life, or you could paraphrase that and say, we're free agents. We can act any way we want. We can act one way or another. But understand this, whatever way you act, it's going to determine what you're going to get. See, the law is infinite. And through its expression, all things are possible for us. Every time we choose a good thought, we make a good investment. Now, look at your life. This is exactly what Ray Stanford said to me when I was 26 years old. I had spent 26 years going down the wrong path. I'm telling you, I was losing. And there was no indication that I was going to change. And he got me to really take a look. What is life giving you today? Health, happiness, and abundance? Or sickness, misery, and lack? Whatever it is, it's your own. You owned it. You ordered it. It was delivered right on schedule. You see, it belongs to no one else but you. You make your investments, and you are daily enjoying the profits or losses. Now, if you're dissatisfied with your investment, it may be wise for you to note what you've invested. Only your own can come to you. And be sure that all is yours will become manifest. It is your responsibility. No other person may share it. Your own and all your own will come to you. Build an image in your mind of yourself being a truly effective individual. I love the way another mentor of mine, Bill Gove, put it. He said, a pro is at their best regardless. Raymond Holywell ended this particular session with these words. He quoted John Burroughs, I rave no more against time or fate, for lo, my own shall come to me. And he's right. And your own shall come to you. Make sure that what you're sowing is going to bring you the harvest that you desire, because you can have anything you want. That's the beauty of the law of compensation. This is Bob Proctor.
And Mary Morrissey. Thank you.